Podcast. As always, I'm your main host, Shannon. Joining me this week is my co-host, Mamats. Mamats, say what's up to the people.
Explosion!
You know, when you finish that quick, it's usually not a good thing. And you really shouldn't yell things out like that when you do.
Oh, wow.
Got him.
Take your mind out of the gutter, all right? Take your mind out of the gutter.
All right. So in case you weren't here last week, and if not, why not? Well, you know where to be. You know you want to listen to us. Come on now. In case you were here last week, we are reviewing Konosuba and Explosion on This Wonderful World. So in case you missed that whole Explosion reference. Before we dive into the spin-off, prequel, whatever you want to call it, for Konosuba, we have the article of the week. This one is Mamats' pick, and it comes from CBR.com. And the article is Controversial Anime That Have Been Banned in Certain Countries. So this is anime that gained mainstream popularity, anime has gained mainstream popularity over the last decade, but titles like Death Note and Pokemon are considered controversial in some countries. I wish I could say that would be weird, but considering there's Pokemon episodes galore that have been censored here in the States for God knows what reasons, let's look at some of the shows that have gotten banned and why.
Yeah. And if it is stupid or not, it is just a dumb reason, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we do have to take into account there are cultural differences depending on the country. What is allowed, what isn't allowed, that would determine some of this stuff. But there, we can still say some of it's dumb. Yeah. All right, so starting off the list, we've got Parasite the Maxim. This one, I'm not going to read the synopsis for these unless it's an obscure one. Everyone knows Parasite. If you haven't watched Parasite, so many questions for you. Parasite is currently banned in Japan. The assumption for this one, it's likely due to its use of body horror.
They are the one who created this one. Yeah.
Parasite's not theirs, is it?
I think they are the one who created Parasite.
Oh, let's take a look. I don't think they were. Let's see, no, Parasite the Maxim. Well, hold on. Produced by Madhouse, aired in Japan. But who was the creator? So it is it's Japanese. So it's originally a Japanese science fiction horror manga.
Hmm.
Yep, this is Japan's all the way.
Yeah, it is banned in China, though.
Well, there was a show called Parasite that was a little different, I believe, that aired in China. But apparently this one is just flat out banned. So, I mean, I think it's a dumb reason. The body horror, I'm sure they have horror movies in China that are just fucking brutal. So I can't really see why this would be banned and not those, but... is what it is. China banned at least 38 different anime back in 2015. Among the titles was Parasite. The exact reason was never given, although it was known that all that was known was that the top-rated seinen anime Parasite couldn't be distributed online or in print in China. One of the most likely reasons is the Parasite's body horror and gore. So yeah. Apparently China they have a habit of banning things with hot...
China is very controlling of their citizens, I guess.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, apparently they don't like a lot of blood and gore in their stuff, so Parasite was banned.
I mean, did you know that... Did you know that every movie that gonna release or will release in China were dubbed first into Mandarin or Cantonese?
Oh, yeah.
They were never really original. Yeah, they were never really like an original... language represented.
Right, they want to make sure that the dialogue given is what they actually want to portray. So,
yeah, I mean,
that's why they also have like.
It would be weird if you watch like Marvel, the Endgame, all in Mandarin in the cinema.
It'd be weird. It's weird, but they also they actually the companies that make it actually alter their scripts and things for the release for China specifically to make sure that they don't mess up, like that they don't end up having an issue with censorship and things like that. Like I know Disney does that a lot. Like even with the latest with the Mulan, they changed a lot of things because they wanted to appease the Chinese government in its release. So you get a lot of censorship over there. But let's keep moving down the list. Number two, we've got Tokyo Ghoul, which is banned in China and Russia. So it says this one was, again, China. Again, one of the most popular, if polarizing, manga adaptations. It was banned in China because some believe that it encouraged a dangerous trend of teenagers sewing threads into their skin. The fuck? Or using embroidery and piercings. Because it showed several scenes of extensive violence and crimes against public morality.
I mean, aren't a lot of movie or like videos I kind of like that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't remember. I don't really see the whole like sewing thing. I don't remember seeing a lot of that in there. It's been a minute, but I think this one falls under the kind of dumb category. But then again, anytime you've got an issue with crimes against public morality, that just kind of spells trouble for any kind of media. So I guess next is one called Midori. Shoujo Tsubaki is banned nearly everywhere due to a terrific and disturbing story. So this is one I've never heard of. Has a pretty dark. Yeah, so it says Shoujo Tsubaki has a pretty dark and troubling storyline. The controversial anime followed the 12-year-old Midori during her time with a twisted and cruel circus. Here she was abused and humiliated until she met an ally in the form of a strange magician. Things somehow only got worse and more disturbing from this point onward. For some time, Shoujo Tsubaki was considered a lost or banned anime. Many people actually destroyed the tapes when it was first released, and it was even banned in Japan. The uncut masters were only released from confiscation in 2013. Shoujo Tsubaki is easier to watch today, but it remains banned in many countries. I mean, that's got to be pretty bad if they were just like, nah, destroy all the physical media.
This makes me wonder what this one is. It makes me wonder. I'm really curious, man.
I'm going to take a quick second. I want to see this trailer real quick. They have the trailer here. Okay. I want to see what we're dealing with. So definitely got that old school feel. Okay, that was one beaten by rats. There's some nudity in here. What the hell was that?
Okay, that quick.
A lot of blood. Okay, I'm starting to get a feeling for why this was banned everywhere. Just from that little like 30 seconds in, not even. There's some stuff going. What? Wow. Okay. What? She just bit the eye off a chicken. What the hell is going on here?
Okay, we are going to watch this one.
The hell we are. I can tell. I think I understand why this shit got bad. I don't think I need to watch this. Nah, I'm straight. I don't need to watch that, bro. Nah, I'm good.
Oh my god.
Did you watch the trailer?
No.
Yeah, no, watch the trailer, then talk to me. Cause that's something else. That's something else. Even just the trailer.
Is it far worse? Is it far worse than School Days?
Obviously I can't say yes or no because I don't know context. I'm just giving clips of images to music, so I can't say 100% or no, it's not, but I have a feeling this would be worse than School Days. Just some of the things I saw just in the trailer, it's just like you heard my reaction.
Yes,
you heard my reaction. Yeah. So you know me. I'm not squeamish when it comes to my shows. I'm not like, oh no, I can't handle this. I can't handle that. This was like, this has got me being like, I feel like this might put me on a list.
I mean, it can go both ways. It could be like horrified or like very stupid and dumb. and funny.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to roll that dice. we'll discuss this later.
Roll that D20, man. Let's move on. Roll that D20.
Yeah, watch me fuck up on a nat one. All right, let's move on to number four, I think this is. We've got Udo's, only Japanese title, okay. Udo Tsukidoji, Inferno Road, is banned almost everywhere thanks to its notoriously suggestive content. So a series of one of the most notorious anime ever. The ultraviolet hentai were almost always denied a wide release or were heavily censored wherever released. The fourth entry, okay, so Udo Tsukidoji, Legend of the Overfiend, is a series of things, not just one thing. But apparently this fourth entry, Inferno Road or Infernal Road, in some territories, was one of the most banned in history. Was arguably the most disturbing and suggestive Overfiend entry yet. To this day, Inferno Road remains banned in many countries, or it's at least incredibly difficult to watch legally. For comparison's sake, the original Overfiend got a Blu-ray remaster, but Inferno Road was last released as a regular DVD or part of a set. What is this show about?
I heard hentai.
Hentai was in there. It's an ultraviolet hentai, so that means there's gonna be a lot of blood, a lot of gore. Who knows, man? I'm good.
So a hentai series?
It's a hentai series. How bad you gotta be as a hentai to get banned?
Yeah. Yeah, hentai is a very high, what do you call that?
High threshold for shit.
Yeah, threshold, yeah. Yes.
All right,
number
five or six. This one's surprising. Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan
is banned. Again, guess where it's banned?
Again, yeah.
China.
China.
It's banned in China for its use of heavy gore and story elements. So, Attack on Titan. Fans might not be surprised that it's banned in China. The massively popular anime features humans getting eaten by enormous cannibals. The anime has so much gore and scary moments that it's arguably more of a horror anime than a war story. However, violence was not the only reason for its ban. China disliked how Attack on Titan was thematically about the youth opposing authority by any means necessary. The Chinese government also felt that the banned anime was a commentary on China's relationship to Japan and possibly Hong Kong. They believed China was represented in a negative light through the Titans.
Wow.
So they basically just being like, hey, we think y'all made this show about us. We ain't happy. And just banned the bitch. So.
It's all about like destroying the wall. It's kind of like the Great Wall of China or something like that. No?
I mean, you could look at it like that. I was more looking at it like, I don't know. I didn't really think I'd put a full comparison, like real world, like comparison to anything other than the military culture was like reminding me of Nazi Germany through the imagery, but that's a lot of Japanese anime takes their inspiration aesthetically from that. But yeah, I didn't really put a country on it other than just the aesthetic. So, I mean, I guess China feels some kind of way, but China often feels some kind of way.
Oh,
all right. This one is weird. Pokemon is banned in Saudi Arabia for religious reasons.
Religious reasons.
Okay. Huh. Pokemon is a worldwide phenomenon. Airs in many languages and different nations. While a few episodes were banned for sensitive or harmful content, looking at you, Porygon episode, Saudi Arabia completely banned the entire anime. And this was done for a variety of reasons, including religious ones. Saudi Arabia saw the games as a form of gambling. Which the banned anime promoted. How is Pokemon gambling? Fight it, you win, or you don't. So the long-running show also prominently featured evolution, which went against the country's religious teachings. I'm starting to see it. Lastly, the government accused Pokemon of using Shinto and Christian symbols, which they deemed to be a religious offense.
Maybe that. Yeah. It's not about the evolution and it is just another religion thing. Yeah.
I think it's a combination of everything. I don't think it's one thing. I think it's all of it. The gambling one is the weird one. All right, we have Hatalia. Axis Powers is banned in South Korea. Really, South Korea? I was expecting North Korea, but South Korea, due to its poor representation of the country.
Oh my god. So,
in the show, every character represented a country. The characterization often relied on generalizations and stereotypes. For example, Italy, Germany, and Japan's friendship was clearly based on their alliance in World War II. South Korea, meanwhile, found their representative insulting. A specific grievance was that South Korea's handbook was drawn wrong. His perverted behavior also deemed offensive. Finally, he openly praised Japan, which some South Koreans found unacceptable, given South Korea and Japan's rough history. In response, South Korea was effectively erased from the banned anime and manga.
I mean, this one is hilarious, understandable, unlike the Attack on Titan one. This is literally like representation of their culture and country, I guess.
Right. It's clearly like, hey, this you. It's not like, I think that's me. It's like, no, they said, this is you. Okay, so I can kind of understand it. They're a little salty. They're a little salty about how they're looking in the show. I get it. That's fine.
Yeah.
The next one I can understand. Record of Ragnarok is banned in India for its portrayal of Hindu gods. Yes. Now, I saw this coming when I watched the show, and I was like, I don't know how y'all getting away with this shit now. I know y'all got the religious people pissed off at you right now.
Every single one of them, man.
Which is why I thought it was funny. You only saw the old gods fight. Mm. So when I say old gods, I don't mean the oldest gods. I mean the gods that are no longer largely worshipped. So you saw your Greek gods fighting. You saw your Norse gods fighting. There are still people who worship the Greek and Norse pantheon. I understand that. But it is not a widespread collective of people. Now, the Hindu gods are very much still worshipped in mass.
Yes.
So I fully saw this coming. This is why you don't see, which is why you see Adam in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hear nothing about Jesus. Could you imagine the fire that would be coming your way for making this show and putting in Jesus.
By the way, did you watch all of them? Second season?
No.
We need to watch second season.
I didn't like the first season. You're going to make me watch the second?
Yes, we need to conclude the whole show.
Oh, God damn it. Why do you hate me? Let me finish this up.
All right.
So, one of these gods that was fighting was a Hindu god, Shiva. I believe it's Shiva.
Yeah.
Not Shiva.
Yes.
Shiva, I believe is correct pronunciation. I'm trying. If I get it wrong, let us know in the comments or send us a post on one of the major socials, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Shiitake Podcast. India found Shiva's animation incarnation so offensive that the country banned Record of Ragnarok. Hindu practitioners took offense to how drastically Shiva's appearance has changed. They also criticized how Shiva was depicted as a temperamental slacker. Netflix initially tried to cut Shiva out before removing the banned anime from Netflix India. Record of Ragnarok superior manga, however, can still be bought in the country. So it's only the anime that's banned. Death Note is banned in, take a guess,
China.
And the reason is because of its dark themes and potential influence on children. So Death Note revolves around themes of death, justice, and murder. This anime actually inspired real-life incidents, really, such as kids making their own Death Notes where they would write the names of people they didn't like. Those were clear imitations of the intelligent villain Light Yagami, blah, 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 blah. Incidents like these were the reason why Death Note was banned in China. Some schools around the world have also attempted to ban Death Note's manga, such as in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Of course, we have to enter the fucking states. In response to similar events, however, they didn't get enough votes to impose a district-wide ban. At least they failed, shit. US always gotta ban some shit they don't like.
It's fucking stupid. It's only right names, not like be much like murder people.
Well, I mean, even without the Death Note series, there's still, like, you still had people writing hit lists in school. Long before Death Note came out, when we had the first major mass shooting in the States, Columbine, they had notebooks with people's names. It's not something that was triggered by the show. It's something that already existed. Mm-hmm. and was just a different way of expressing what already was being expressed. So it's not like the show is the cause. It's merely a secondary symptom of what is already going on. So
yeah,
it's foolish to try to ban it because that's not the root of the problem. Fix the root of the problem. All right, we're not going into the deep, dark, sad, depressing shit. How many more shows we got?
Not much.
Jesus, man. 10. 11. There's 11 more. All right, we're going to speed run this shit.
All right.
Because we got to get to the main topic, man. We're going to be here forever. so next we have Inferno Cop. So we have Inferno Cop, one of many series banned in again China for alleged moral reasons. Then we've got Kinnikuman is banned in France due to controversial character. Hold up, I gotta read about this one. So Kinnikuman, France of all people. Oh,
why?
Got it.
Why?
So in the story, it's a Galactic Wrestling was innocent enough except for a certain character, Brocken Jr. He was portrayed as a good Nazi, which made many people uncomfortable. He also wore a Nazi uniform due to his father's role in World War II, but he didn't adhere to Nazism's hateful belief. Of course you're fucking banned in France. I'm surprised you're not banned in Germany for this shit. Yeah, no, motherfucker, this is terrible.
Right, yeah.
Back to speed run. Back to speed run. We've got Kite. Kite is banned in Norway for graphic scenes. Then we've got Osomatsu-san's first episode is banned in Japan due to copyright laws. Okay.
Copyright. Okay. All right. Yeah. Copyright.
Fate Khaled. Is it Khalid? Liner Prisma Ilya.
Yeah.
Khaled. And Liner Prisma Ilya are banned in Russia for infamous sexualization of the characters. So over-sexualization of minors. Got it.
Minors, yes. Lesbian, yes. Too. Yuri.
Oh, so yeah, it's Yuri and minors. Yeah, let's just go for the fucking... Let's go for a hat trick next shit. Sailor Moon is banned in Saudi Arabia for cultural and religious reasons.
Again.
Oh, no, because it's the whole women can't be in roles of power shit. So they forbid any media depicting women in the leading role. So Sailor Moon is all women in the leading roles. So it's banned. Fucking backwards. Next we've got Psycho Pass is banned in China for its violence and anti-authority themes. Fucking China. Okay. Excel Saga's last episode is banned in Japan because it's too intense for TV.
Last episode.
So it's the finale was deliberately made to be as obscene and violent as possible.
Wow.
The episode was even titled Going Too Far and can only get seen in the DVD release. Damn.
That sucks.
So it the sucks. Director, hold on, you gotta hear this part. Shinichi Watanabe, the director, admitted that he purposefully wanted the episode to be banned by Chinese censors. Needless to say, he got his wish. In an interview, Watanabe stated that it felt good to go past the limits of a TV series, but it is not something that one should do too often. So that shit was done off purpose. That's hilarious.
Good right, for you, so man. Good for you.
He got what he wanted. So next we've got Assassination Classroom. The fuck? Fucking states, I swear to God. Assassination Classroom is banned in Florida and Wisconsin. Of course. Okay. Fucking
why?
Florida and Wisconsin.
Why these two?
Conservative, hardcore conservative states where they would use anything as a rallying cry to be like, they're corrupting the youth. It's just fucking stupid, okay? It's these are the people. These are people. The same people who probably got this banned are the same people who believe that children are identifying as cats and the schools are giving them litter boxes.
Oh.
You did not hear me wrong. Mind you, there has not been one confirmed incident of this anywhere in the fucking country. but one motherfucker said it. So then they all started parroting it. And then they say, well, where did it happen? Well, I heard it from so-and-so, and they're a reliable source, so it did happen. Well, where did they hear it from? I don't know. Nobody can point back to a situation where it fucking happened, but they keep parroting it or parroting it like it's fucking truth. So once you have people like that running shit, it does not surprise me that Assassination Classroom would get banned. So stupid places. That's all I'm going to say. I love Wisconsin. I've been there. Your cheese is fucking amazing. Florida, you can keep it.
You can keep it.
You can keep it. Fucking insects, the fucking humidity, no, keep it. But stop letting stupid people make stupid decisions, okay? Goddamn. Sorry. Assassination Classroom is the end of it. After that, we go into unbanned series. Yeah. We'll save that for another day.
No, like two more.
It's not two more. There's more than two. Fine. So series that were previously banned but no longer banned. High School DxD was previously banned in New Zealand to highly suggestive content. Of course it was.
Of course. But in New Zealand, though.
I don't know. Okay, again, New Zealand. Puni Puni Poemi was previously banned in New Zealand for overly suggestive content and violent content. You're right. It was just too much.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up. Somebody in New Zealand had a stick up their butt. They're like, hey, you can't be showing anime titties. I don't know.
I mean, both of them is just edgy anime.
It is.
It was unbanned.
It's just some edginess.
So, yeah, there you go, folks. If you want to read this article yourself, I will put it in the description, like always. So, yeah.
But let's get into the main topic of today, so let's get some energy back into this, because you know we need to keep that energy up. If we're gonna use explosion magic, we're gonna blow up all the demons in the world. We gotta have some energy to it.
Yeah.
So, the main topic of today, we are reviewing two things. Well, three things. I know it's weird to say three things, but it's three things. Kind of three things. They're all connected. We are reviewing Konosuba Season 2 OVA.
Mm-hmm.
The Konosuba movie and the season Konosubarashi Sekai no Bakuen wo, Konosuba and Explosion on This Wonderful World.
It's been off, so or we're basically like origin the, of
yes,
Megumin.
The prequel. Yes, so we're catching up on everything Konosuba in one shiitake episode, and we're gonna do this a little different. We're gonna do two scores, one for the movie, one for the show, and then a slogan overall for how the show is doing, I think. What do you think of that, Mabots?
Okay, we can do that.
All right, so we're going to start with synopsis for the movie. The OVA, we'll give an episode overview real quick, and then that'll be that. So let's start with the OVA, which, again, if you're going to make an OVA, make it clearly distinct from the damn series. You literally just put this as episode 11 from season 2 and it's not. Stupid. Don't do that. So the OVA, the synopsis for the OVA, this has come from Crunchyroll's website. After returning from his trip to Akinrechia, Kazuma is living life without care in the world thanks to his debts being all paid off by the reward money he earned from eliminating one of the Devil King's generals. I don't know why they're the only ones who have a Devil King and not a Demon King. It always throws me off. Yeah. One day, a rookie adventurer named Bron comes up to him in the guild hall asking for a handshake. She apparently became a fan of Kazuma's after his consecutive defeat of the Devil King's generals. This puts him in an amazing mood, but it's not too long before the guild receptionist Luna appears, asking him to take on a quest to eliminate a golem. Wanting to look good in front of a fan, Kazuma ends up accepting and heads towards ancient ruins with Aqua, Megumin, and Darkness in tow. So that is for the OVA. It was essentially just like a precursor to the movie that they were going to release,
yes.
Setting up who the person was that was responsible for a lot of shit that went down.
Yep.
It was okay. Had some good comedy to it. I didn't really have too many problems with it. I'd rate that that singular episode, I give it about a 6.57. It was okay.
Yeah, I would give it a 7 as well. I mean, because of the little details like that make everything makes sense in this cool series, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the movie. Movie synopsis is from mindmillers.net. It is not strange that the Demon Lord's forces fear the Crimson Demons, the clan from which Megumin and Yun Yun originate. Even if the Demon Lord generals attack their village, the Crimson Demons can easily brush them off with their supreme mastery of advanced and overpowered magic. When Yun Yun receives a seemingly serious letter regarding a potential disaster coming to her hometown, she immediately informs Kazuma, Sato, and the rest of his party. After a series of wacky misunderstandings, it turns out to be a mere prank by her fellow demon, who wants to be an author. Even so, Megumin becomes worried about her family and sets out toward the Crimson Demon. There, Kazuma and the others decide to sightsee the wonders of Megumin's birthplace. However, they soon come to realize that the nonsense threat they received might have been more than just a joke.
Yeah.
All right, Mas, what did you score the movie?
I would give this one like 7.5. This is like pure classic Konosuba, all in all, in this one movie, man.
I'll agree with you that I'll ride it at a 7. It was definitely one that it was definitely the comedy was great. They had the right amount of action to offset the comedy and the stupidity that comes with Konosuba.
Yes.
Yeah, I give it a solid 7.
Yeah.
And the OVA really does set up a lot of what you're gonna see in the movie. Because when I was I made the mistake of watching it out of order because I didn't realize the OVA was in season 2. So when I watched it, I was like, okay, they had a dude that was Isekai first, and he just made the Crimson Demons. Cool, that's it. I'm set. Well, no, we find out in the OVA, no, he made most of the shit that they've had to fight that's been fucking up their day. So like the giant spider thing, like
yeah, destroyer.
Yes. He made the fucking destroyer. They had to fight a big-ass golem. He had the big-ass golem. Kazuma got his ass whooped by a fucking sadist golem android maid bitch. The dude was a pervy motherfucker who was trying to make a waifu. So yes. this dude is definitely the bane of Kazuma's existence with all the shit he put out there.
He's also responsible for all the shits that happened in Megumin's hometown.
Right, and apparently, like, he created the Crimson Demons from nothingness. Which begs the question, if you can make the Crimson Demons, how come you couldn't make a waifu?
They are modified humans. The Crimson Demons
are clearly alive.
Modified humans, right?
Right, so why wouldn't you just make a modified human waifu instead of focusing on making a golem waifu?
That's why you said, they are too tough, they are not human-like. That's why he finally made it into like this Crimson Demon thing. That's why they are so cringy and quirky like that.
Because right, and why they do like the whole the whole posing, like when they did the big attack and introduce themselves and all that shit. Because he was a fucking neat, just like Kazuma was, and he's like, I'm just gonna make anime motherfuckers. And they're just gonna be real in this world. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's all it was. So we've got that. Let's go ahead and do the synopsis for an explosion on this wonderful world. Yeah. So this is a synopsis for the prequel series for
spin-off.
The spin-off prequel. It's hard to say it's a spin-off because they didn't go away from the main series. They just went back and were telling Megumin's story from the beginning to about the time she met Kazuma. So I would say it's a prequel, I guess. Megumin is a young and passionate, Megumin is a young and passionate wizard from the Crimson Demon Village, a remote community of mages with red eyes and a flair for the dramatic. She has devoted her life to mastering explosion magic, a powerful but impractical spell that leaves her drained of mana and unable to move for the rest of the day. Regardless, she refuses to learn any other skills. Along with her childhood friend and self-proclaimed rival, Yun Yun, Megumin enrolls in the Red Prison, a prestigious academy for Crimson Demon magic users. There she learns more about the secrets and history of her clan, as well as the threats and challenges they must face. As she polishes her power at the Red Prison, with the help of her loyal familiar, Chimosuke, and her adorable little sister, Komeko, Megumin aims to become the greatest explosion wizard of all time. That's synopsis for the season, spin-off season, / prequel season, Konosuba, an explosion on this wonderful world. Mamatsu, what did you score this?
This one, a 6. And my slogan for it is, explosion is the way of life.
I scored it a 5.
Okay.
And my slogan for it was, don't alter characters' personalities when you already made them.
I mean, okay.
Okay, so to start things off, am I bugging? And you can absolutely say I'm bugging, but I don't think I am. Am I bugging that Megumin did not look like Megumin?
Yes.
So I'm wrong in that. It's just me.
Yes.
Okay, because watching her, she didn't look like Megumin. I don't know why. I don't know what it was, but something was off about the character design in this season. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I just don't know. So I'll leave that alone. That could just be me tripping. That's okay.
Yeah.
Two, her personality type was completely different. And you can't tell me I'm tripping on this one.
No.
They changed her personality for this series. And it's not even like we saw her become the Megumin that we know. Mm-hmm. No, even at the end of it, her personality was still different than what it was in the freaking movie and the OVA that we just watched.
Yeah, if you only watch the first two seasons, yes, this one is very different kind of Megumin. Very polite, I guess. Not super over the top. And very friendly with Yunyun. That is how I'm going to put it, I guess.
I don't know. It just made the character seem very, very different from what we already seen her be. And it didn't really make sense considering we saw her literally right before she joined the party. So it's not even like there was a ton of time for her personality to change. So that's my thing. As far as the content of the show, I didn't like it as much as the other bits. Like, it was interesting seeing her, like, where Megumin came from. I don't think it needed to be 12 episodes.
Yes, true.
We could have did this in 4.
Yes, 4 episodes, like, specials, I guess.
Four OVAs. Did 4 OVAs, done. Knock this out clean. Mm. It did need to be 12 episodes. The pacing was all wrong for me, because with Konosuba, yes, you get a great deal of the stupid and the comedy, but there's action that actually does happen to offset it.
I mean, this does have some action in there, but because this is only like
kind of action,
like a quarter of Konosuba, I guess, because of this. This is only one character of like the main crew, you know. There's only like so much that you can tell about this one character, you know. I mean,
it's not only that though. It's not just about the fact that they only have one part of the quartet there. It's the way that the comedy took over. So even that the action parts were completely overshadowed by the comedy parts.
Yeah.
It just didn't, the spread for me wasn't working, because it felt like it was all the dumb parts of Konosuba and none of like the parts that break that up. And I don't mean dumb as in bad. I don't mean dumb as in bad. The comedy style of Konosuba is what I consider to be stupid comedy. The jokes they're not complex jokes. They're just very simple and funny. Like, but they're kind of like this, like, you, when you saw someone do it and it wasn't part of a series that you're watching, you would say that person was stupid. So I consider it to be stupid comedy. It was way too much of that and not enough of everything else that makes up Konosuba.
Yeah, and also not gonna help the situation here, I guess, too. We just saw the movie as well. The movie has some, like, I guess, like, half of the info about the hometown already. And yet they released the whole series about this hometown, I guess. And there's really nothing much to see in this hometown, I guess, in my opinion. So we don't really need the whole 12 episode series.
Right, but we had to sit through five episodes just being in the hometown.
Yeah.
Meeting a bunch of characters that we're never going to see again.
I don't know if we are not going to see them again, but yeah, hardly going to see them again, I guess. We have already seen them in the movie. And yeah, that's it. That's it, I guess. There's nothing else to say about that. Because even in the OVA, pretty much tell us the whole story about what we need to know about this whole Crimson Demon Village, I guess. So, yeah. It is too long. I hardly laugh at the jokes in this series, I guess. The only times that I really enjoy or laugh when Megumin ended up in the Arcanoretia. That is when we saw how the whole thing about the worshipper of Aqua becomes like that, because it is all Megumin's doing. Megumin is the whole cause of everything, the whole hot springs, the whole tricks to invite or like make them fall into the trap of worshipping Aqua, I guess. The whole thing was Megumin's doing. It's all Megumin's idea. That's the only time that I really laughed at the whole show. And the whole thing about these two demon follower or like evil god follower, and the evil god was like the cat.
Yeah,
I don't think it's just like,
I don't think they did enough to set that up to make it work.
It is not just quite felt there.
Really, really weird.
Yeah. And I don't feel like the evil intent of the general evil god generals, I guess. Both of them are just a victim, you know? They are just going to resurrect, I guess, the evil god. But the evil god doesn't want to follow them. And that's it. And they will fall victim and will vanish or will destroy by Megumin.
Right, but we don't even know if that was like the evil god. We just know that they keep going to them thinking they're the evil god, which is still weird because we didn't get any fucking setup for any of this.
Yeah, the only setup
that we know about evil god,
yeah,
is that their village was like they captured evil gods.
They sealed them, right?
Evil god because it was cool. Well, they would capture them and seal them in the village because they thought it was cool. But other than that, we have nothing. We have no background information on evil gods. We went from Devil King to now there's evil gods. Like, wait, what? You're just introducing random shit now?
Yeah.
And you gonna focus the whole damn season on that? No. No, 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 no.
I mean, the whole devil general thing was the other guy, the original isekai guy, caused them or created them, I guess. In my opinion, that's all he's doing. That's why we saw like the destroyer, the golem thing. I think they are correlated with each other. But this evil cat thingy is just I don't really enjoy this one as much. This is just a spin-off. I don't know if they will going to release a third season of Konosuba. I don't know when. What do you think?
I don't know. Dude. This season just felt like a miss. It just felt like a miss for me. I think we need to get back to the main storyline of Konosuba. Like, if you give me a Darkness spinoff, I'm gonna be highly upset. And I like Darkness.
I mean, don't we already get. Spin-off. We already have watched some of the backstory, all right. The things about Darkness, right? Darkness come from like from the other kingdom. She is a princess. She was forced to marry like this
prince. She's not a princess. She's not a princess. She's an aristocrat.
Yeah, like a noble or something. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a noble. But like we got that part, but we don't know why she started adventuring. We don't know why she became so lecherous. We don't know anything about like what happens pre her joining up with Kazuma. Same way with Megumin, we know, okay, she's part of the Crimson Demons. They're supposed to be like really strong mages. We know she has a rival with Yunyun. But we didn't know about anything before that. Why she's obsessed with explosion magic. Like the depth that we got with Megumin in this show is the same level of depth that we could get from a Darkness spinoff, but I don't want a Darkness spinoff.
Yes.
Give me like two episodes with like Darkness going home and like us like digging into what went down, but I don't want a full 12 episode season just talking about Darkness's ass.
Yes. I mean that two episode or three episodes thingy that could easily be included on this spin-off, right? Just make like the prequel of every other characters in this show. Make it into this one 12 episode right. Series. That could have been far, far better and intertwined with each other, I guess. Yeah.
But spent like six episodes on Megumin, six episodes on Darkness, and it would have been cool.
Yes, yes. But I really enjoy the movie though. The movie is everything in my opinion in this series. They have like this awesome battle. The Devil General is very tough to fight, I guess. They need the whole crew to come up with something, like a plan to defeat this one Devil General. I don't know what is her, his gender again. <I don't> Because in the movie she mentioned that she has both. So yeah.
that was weird.
It's weird and funny at the same time. Oh my god. But I really enjoyed the whole movie. The battle is awesome. It is beautifully done. The comedy is very over the top. Everything from Megumin's parents doing the whole post marriage thingy, I guess, towards Megumin and stuff. And Kazuma shit, I guess. I really enjoyed the movie though. I seriously want to see like a third season of Konosuba. If this is the kind of comedy they are pushing through. So I don't want to see any more of the spin-off thingy. We don't really need it, I guess. At this time, I guess, at this moment for now, we have already known about everything that happened in the show. The only thing that really bothers me is about the Megumin series, the whole this one mesh. This one girl, this one lady, that is the aspiration or the inspiration of Megumin's whole explosion magic stuff. Who is she really?
She didn't appear at all.
Yes. By the looks of it, she was reborn, reawakened from the.
She's a dark town? God of some kind. I don't know.
Yeah, but she can only do explosion magic as well. Without raining.
No, I think she can do other magic, but she prefers explosion magic.
Yeah, so who is she? That is a mystery. That is the only thing that, I guess, that pulls the whole story forward, in my opinion. Other than that, it's just a meh series. So how about you, Shannon? Do you enjoy the movie?
I like movie. It was funny. There were parts where I was laughing my butt off, like when Kazuma like got sucked into the I don't know the character's name. I need to look up the name because I don't know what to call they
Yay.
He's just like, they like pull Cosma into their embrace, and he's just sitting there like groping the titties, and they're not even doing anything. And then Cosma turns around, and is like, no, this is fine, you can leave me alone. Yeah. And he's like, no, it's like, yeah, I know how it is. I have both parts. And Cosmo's like, wait, what'd you say? He's like, I have both parts. And Cosmo's like, why is something poking me? And then she just gets this
because
like
there
shy
is.
But like devious look. There is.
That is Sylvia.
That was great. Sylvia, thank you.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. That was, I loved the comedy that they put in with Sylvia. That was great. That for me is what was missing with Megumi series.
That kind of joke.
The comedy we got, the jokes were fundamentally different because of the available character pool that they had.
Yes.
They tried to fix it with the pervy dude from the Crimson Village, but it just didn't work. So I love the movie. Everything was on point. Was great. Absolutely great.
I mean, we get that dude from the Arcan Red, yeah? The hit priest? The sadistic one? The masochist one, I guess?
Yeah, but that one just pissed me off with the... Because it's just like... It's the same reason I hate Aqua.
And he is the Aqua's worshipper. So yeah, I guess that's the whole reason too, I guess. All right. Memorable scene other than that, man.
No, I'm sticking with that. I'm sticking with that. Like, for comedy, it's that. For action, it's the part where Cosmo was like trying to have Aqua charge up the gun, but it didn't work. But as soon as Megumi tried to cast explosion, it just sucked it up. The weapon was great. I love that whole thing.
And it was triggered by who pulled the trigger again? Megumin's sister, right? Komiko.
Megumin's sister did, yes.
She stole the thunder, man. She stole the thunder. And not only that, yeah, the combo attack between Yun and Megumin's. Oh, that is so well done. I love that one, man. The whole battle is just works. The whole teamwork thing. Like Kazuma becomes like a decoy, a bait. saying to Sylvia like, I'm in love with you and stuff. So that they got distracted, I guess. While Megumin is charging up the explosion magic and something like that, and Yun casting the advanced magic, the whole thing. Right. And also at the last the last scene after everything settles down, when Megumin starts to realize that explosion magic is not really convenient, and said that I will no longer use explosion magic, but I want you to pick the intermediate magic for me to use, I guess, to cast. I need you to pull or to push the button for me. And Kazuma is just like, nah, I want you to cast the explosion magic one last time. And what Kazuma did is pushing like the boost, explosion magic boost or something like that, and make it the explosion magic like far powerful than the original. So yeah, I love that scene as well. All right, so characters, man, throughout the show, who's the MVP?
So favorite character, if we're talking about the movie, I'm going to give it to probably Sylvia. Sylvia stole the show. Like, she made the whole movie. Without that character, I don't think the comedy would have been as good. The Crimson Demons.
Yeah, Crimson Demons.
Yeah, the Crimson Demons for me didn't really give a whole lot. Like, it was just like the whole cult of Axis all over again. So for me, like, that comedy wasn't really there. So for me, Sylvia just ended up stealing the show. I was just enjoyed that character more than any of the others that were introduced in that film.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I really enjoy, I think Yun Yun is the MVP of the whole show, the prequel and the movie. Without Yun Yun's help, I guess, Megumin is not existed anymore. Like, she would not survive.
She just would have been very different. Well, no, we can't even say that, though, because we know the only reason Megumin only learned explosion magic is because Yun Yun stepped in. So if Yun Yun had never intervened and saved Megumin's sister, Megumin would have spent her points on intermediate magic. And she would have learned something other than explosion.
Yes.
So without Yun Yun, Megumin would have ended up being a more rounded character.
Yeah.
Sorry, a more rounded mage. So Yun Yun is actually the reason Megumin is actually bad. Because she enabled her. As far as mages go with versatility and effectiveness, Megumin is a bad mage. You get one spell, and it's too powerful to be used in 90% of cases. That's a bad mage.
But Yun Yun is like really, really good friend. Become like a really, really good friend. No hesitation at all. Just spend her skill points to memorize intermediate magic to save the whole situation. Because she knows Megumin is really, like, really wanted to become like explosion magic. She knows that.
Right.
I'm not arguing that
Yun Yun wasn't a good person. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that Yun Yun, because you said without Yun Yun, Megumin wouldn't exist. And I was like, that's not true. Megumin would still exist. She would have been a better mage if not for Yun Yun. Because of the fact that she would have been forced to be a more rounded mage. So Yun Yun is not a deficit. She's basically the reason that Megumin sucks as much as she does. What that?
Sucks for a normal mage. But for the whole teamwork thingy, for Kazuma teams, I guess, it works.
She still sucks.
Yeah, she still sucks.
She still sucks.
But she is the one who can end
the... whole reason Kazuma's life is so fucking hard. Let's not forget, the whole reason Kazuma's life is so fucking hard is because either Megumin fucked up or Aqua fucked up
or Darkness. Or Darkness, yeah.
Mostly Aqua.
They are all equal, man. Don't be a bias.
They are not equal. They are not equal. You know how many times Aqua does some... Let's just look at the OVA. He's literally restraining Megumin, telling her not to push the button. Aqua walks over just like, boop. Bitch, why? Why? Dumb as a box of rocks.
You see like a big red button, man. It's only proper to just push the button.
No, because it wasn't even a big red button. The button was blue.
Oh, the blue button. If there's a button in front of you,
push that damn button.
It's only appropriate for you to push it down, right? Right?
No.
But for me, Yun Yun is the best girl ever.
We got a word for that? What'd you say?
Yun Yun is the best girl for the whole series.
No, she's not.
You ready to just duck this, huh? Oh my god.
I'd rather have Darkness than Yun Yun, yes.
Man. Nah, Yun Yun for me all the way. Yun Yun.
That's a lie. You just take Aqua. Don't lie.
Yeah. I mean, in the original series, yes, Aqua. But in the Megumin series, movie and all, Yun Yun. Yun Yun all the way.
You're forsaking your god. You're forsaking your goddess for Yun Yun.
I can take both of them, right?
No, you can't. No, you can't.
Wow. Wow. All right. Least favorite character, man.
Oh, okay. Aqua.
Why I wanted to ask.
Yeah, I don't know why you bother asking. For the OVA, it's Aqua. For the movie, it's pretty much the whole damn Crimson Demon Village. And for the spinoff / prequel,
the whole Aqua Worshipper?
Yeah. Yeah. All of them.
Not only the head priest, the, like the...
Like no, the girl, whole crew. Only the girl priest didn't bother. No, I'd say the girl priest is fine. Everyone but the girl priest.
The girl priest is super into Megumin.
She is, but she's not as creepy as the other ones, and it's not like she's not as annoying as the other ones.
You think so, huh?
I mean, I personal opinion, of course, but I just felt like she was more just like she was more like low-key about her perviness.
Yeah.
The rest were just, like, in your face with it.
Low-key, huh? Remember that one time, so. Like, she's into,
yeah, when
like...
she was sniffing her sheets, I know.
Yes.
I know.
Oh, my God. And the other time in the hot spring, I guess. That one, too. Okay.
Yeah, but again, she wasn't over the top with it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. Okay. Yeah, the whole Crimson Demon Village crew, I guess. The whole village. Just why? Just why? And what's the deal with Megumin's sister, Komeko? She's like a free spirit kid, I guess. And their parent is just abandoned this child alone at home with no proper guidance or anything like that. She just ate whatever, I guess. If she can find a cat, she eats a cat. If she can find a monster, she eats a monster. So maybe I hate Megumin's parents more than the whole village. Oh my God. So I guess that's it. Let's wrap up the whole show. In conclusion, movie is good. Megumin spin-off is just okay. We don't really need the whole 12 episode thing to really introduce the whole village to us. The OVA is far more important to the whole storyline of the show, in my opinion. And I just want to know who is that mysterious explosion magic user, that lady. What's their deal with her? That's the only mystery that really haven't been unveiled to us so far. How about you, Shannon? Last word.
I got nothing. Just go back to the normal formula.
Simple, quick, and easy. Yeah. All right. So I guess that's it. That is the end of our review of the OVA, the movie, and the spin-off of Konosuba. If you like what you heard here, please give us a like, give us a follow, and give us a rating on whatever platform that you listen this podcast on. So for our Fungi fam, what are we going to watch next? Shannon?
So I believe our next show is going to be around that overly commercialized lovey-dovey holiday known as overly Valentine's Day.
I thought that was Halloween.
Oh, commercialized to all hell. Fuck you, sir. Halloween is sacred.
Oh, okay. All right.
Valentine's Day is all about fake love. So we will be reviewing a romance anime. And one of the ones that I've been wanting to watch for a while now, but I just never got around to it. We are going to be watching The Ancient Magus Bride. So hopefully this one is lovey-dovey enough for the holiday that it is going to be assigned to. But yeah.
It's going to be sad?
Anyway, so it's going to be sad. So it's going to hopefully it lives up to the holiday it's assigned to.
Okay.
So hopefully it's a good romance anime.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. All right, we will find out next week. All right, so
we'll find out. Y'all will find out. Everybody find out.
Most of them maybe have already find out. We are the only one who haven't watched it yet because it is a 2017 show. So yeah. All right, so if you have any comment or suggestion regarding our show or any of our future show, you can always hit us up on the interweb. Where can people find us on the interweb, Shannon?
You can find us, like always, on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Shiitake Podcast, or shoot us an email, shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
All right, with that being said, let's end the podcast like usual. So if you are really going to make an explosion as your way of life, just beware, because it's a rough world out there. Anyways, just be safe out there and please don't die.
You know, Konosuba never let you down, because they know the truth. There's plenty of time for opai
and
darkness. A lot of perverts. But mostly opai.
All right. Let's say with me now, Shannon. Shiitake.